You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Jacob's Ladder. Topic, Parallel Confirmations. Jacob's Ladder, What Happened Before. Isaac's twin sons, Jacob and Esau, departed not on the best of terms. Isaac, old and dying, was ready to give his blessing to his eldest son. Yet through the counsel of his beloved wife Rebekah, Jacob told Esau to go out into the field and prepare him a meal. Esau, the strong firstborn, the hunter, the leader, and his weaker brother Jacob, the one who was holding Esau's ankle at birth, exemplified a stark contrast. Rebekah, overhearing Isaac speaking to Esau, Genesis chapter 27 verse 5, plotted a plan for her favored son Jacob to receive the blessing and to cheat Esau out of it. Now, let's pick this story up about 20 years later. Jacob leaves Laban, from whom he had taken two daughters as his wives, leaving them with all he had. Jacob is now set out to meet Esau, and he is filled with fear about the encounter. Remember, although Jacob is persistent, it did take him 14 years to win the hand of his beloved wife Rachel after Laban cheated him. He was still not a very strong person and was somewhat of a coward. On the other hand, he shows that he is strong and independent. Yet indeed, he remains the one who received his father's blessing. He is the anointed one of his family. He also wrestled with the angel at Bethel, and God made him a promise that would remain strong in his mind. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 19, Amplified Bible. And Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there overnight because the sun was set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, forefather, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you are lying, and your offspring shall be as countless as the dust or sand of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And by you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves. And behold, I am with you and will keep, watch over you with care, take notice of you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done all of which I have told you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid, and said, How to be feared and reverenced is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, a monument to the vision in his dream, and he poured oil on its top in dedication. And he named that place Bethel, the house of God, but the name of that city was Luz at first. Confirmation of the promise. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, Amplified Bible. And in your seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves, because you have heard and obeyed my voice. Having heard the stories of his father Isaac about all that had happened to him and his grandfather Abraham, he still feared reprisal. As Christians, we see this dream of Jacob's as highly symbolic, representing the mediator, Jesus Christ, who came to earth and became that ladder or stairway for us to reconnect the relationship with God that was severed because of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. New International Version, 1984. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus was our ideal Jacob's ladder who came to earth from the line of Jacob through the provisions of God and redeemed us so that we may live in heaven for eternity. Now back to Jacob. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1 to 3, Amplified Bible. Then Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's army." So he named that place Mahanaim, two armies. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Thank God we know this for sure, as David wrote in the Psalms. Psalm chapter 105, verse 14 to 16, Amplified Bible. He allowed no man to do them wrong. In fact, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land of Egypt. He cut off every source of bread. Jacob was afraid that he would lose at least half of what he had. Therefore, while awaiting his brother, he divided his camp, sending his family to spread into different areas, leaving him alone. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 32, Amplified Bible. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" And in shock of realization, whispering, he said, "Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray you, what is your name?" But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared and not snatched away." And as he passed Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he was limping because of his thigh. That is why, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the hollow of the thigh, because the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh on the sinew of the hip. A filet mignon is a terrific and wonderful piece of meat, but our Jewish friends will not eat it because of the scripture that is read before you. While the hindquarter meat of a cow could theoretically be prepared in a kosher manner, there are not many kashrut professionals trained in the proper removal of the gid hanashi, sciatic nerve, to make it easily available to Jewish or other kosher observant believers. Jacob was left alone. Genesis chapter 32, verse 25, Amplified Bible, in the dark, and an angel appears to wrestle with him until dawn. When the angel sees that he cannot overcome Jacob, he strikes him in the thigh and sends him on his way limping. Therefore, the children of Israel are not to eat the sciatic nerve to this day, because he struck Jacob's leg on the sciatic nerve. Genesis chapter 32, verse 33, Amplified Bible. When we read this, we ask ourselves, does that make sense? Why would this be on the list of non-kosher foods? When we take a closer look, The text specifically suggests that the angel was unable to overcome Jacob. If so, how did he injure his leg so badly? If a person emerged from a fistfight with a black eye and claimed that their adversary couldn't touch them, one might inconveniently point out that this was clearly not the case. Textbooks suggest that it was a warning, not necessarily to Jacob, but to his children who were not present in his time of need. Let's recap one more time on what happened, because it is important. Think about Jacob's mindset. He was forced to run away from his brother so many years ago in fear for his life. He traveled many miles and went to live with his uncle Laban. All those years, he knew that Esau was likely stewing and growing increasingly bitter. More than 20 years later, he headed home and heard that Esau was approaching with 400 troops. The news was cause for great concern and confirmed Jacob's fears. So he prepared on all fronts. He worked on the diplomatic front, prayed fervently for divine assistance, and prepared for battle as well. He split his camp so that if Esau destroyed one part, the other would survive. How awful! Half his wives and children might die, yet that was a possible reality for which he had to prepare. He could not sleep. He paced the floor, desperate to do something, anything, and his children left him all alone. The angel may not have been able to overcome Jacob personally, as Jacob was too strong for that. However, he did have a vulnerability. His weak spot was the absence of family support in his darkest hour. Thus, he was struck in the thigh area, a region of the body that is biblically symbolic of procreation and future generations. The Torah bans the consumption of the sciatic nerve for Jacob's descendants in memory that those children left their father alone at this crucial and terrifying moment in his life. You cannot necessarily blame the family. Jacob displayed cowardice at first, but he became a strong and independent man. Their father had cared for them in many difficult situations over the years and always seemed to know best. They trusted him and looked to him for guidance and protection. Yet therein lies the danger, for even the strongest person still has moments of fundamental human need for support. The Torah leaves us to ask, are there towers of strength in our own lives who may be too lonely in the personal dangers that they face? As we are grafted into the tree of Jesse, we are also grafted into the family of Jacob. Many times, we have seen the children leave their father alone and go off on their own, pursuing other gods rather than the Father God, YHWH himself. I believe that striking Jacob in the leg did not only have meaning for the people of Israel, but also signifies that even when we are strong and independent, we need to remain connected, just as the thighs remain an integral part of the body. Even when a voice urges us to abandon the Father, we must stand strong in times of adversity and remain with Him in our support and efforts. Then, only then, will we see that all things are not as dire as they may seem, because God the Father is in control, as we have read in Psalm 105. Do not touch my anointed one. This is a promise not only to the descendants of Jacob, but also to all the adopted children, the Christians. We have been saved by grace, and through the suffering and death of Jesus, the price was paid. This Jesus is the ladder, the only way to heaven, the road to salvation, and the gateway into the kingdom. Receiving the blessings as promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, Amplified Bible. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. In reflecting upon the journey of Jacob and the profound symbolism of his ladder, we are reminded of the enduring nature of God's promises. Jacob struggles, from his early deceptions to his solitary wrestling with the angel, reveal a human heart grappling with fear, vulnerability, and hope. Yet, through it all, God's steadfast commitment to his covenant shines through, urging us to trust in his divine plan, even when the path seems uncertain. This narrative calls us to prepare ourselves on all fronts, diplomatically, spiritually, and even physically. Just as Jacob divided his camp to preserve what he held dear, we too must take practical steps to safeguard our families and our faith. However, more importantly, it reminds us that our true strength is found in remaining connected to God, who is our ultimate source of refuge and support in times of trial. Ultimately, the message of Jacob's ladder transcends time and circumstance. It challenges us to examine our own lives, to recognize the moments when we are most in need of divine intervention, and to stand firm in the assurance that God's blessings are ever present. May we, as believers, grafted into the family of Abraham, draw strength from this timeless truth and remain unwavering in our commitment to our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, New International Version, 1984. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? In you, meaning in your family, your descendants, and their families, regardless of race, creed, or color, will be blessed while blessing you. Oh, what a wonderful promise for those who are grafted into the family through Jesus Christ. The blessing, the promise, and the protection of the Lord rest upon each and every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.